Great to be here. Thanks, guys. You guys are awesome. You guys have a great worship team. Why don't you guys give these a huge hand? Show them your appreciation for the... Come on, give them a real hand if you're going to give them a hand. That's awesome. I think they did a fantastic job. And what a cool story that Renee just brought then about... I was thinking, that's just so like Jesus. Jesus just comes to the gate... And just comes to the entranceway of our heart and just comes to the entranceway of our lives and is there. And sometimes people are a bit standoffish because we think what they're going to bring is not good. We think they're just going to come in and kind of shut things off and kind of step it down. And until you invite Jesus in to that place in our heart, we never know the blessing that Jesus is going to bring. And then you invite him back and you just want more of Jesus. And I just thought, what a powerful story. That is to think about the gospel. This morning I want to talk about a future and a hope in Jeremiah 29:11. If you've got your Bible, that's great. And why don't you open it up to that, Jeremiah 29:11. If you don't have your Bible, maybe go sit next to a Christian. And no, I'm joking. I'm joking. And but seriously, no. Okay. Jeremiah 29:11. This is a great verse, and I'm really happy to be here. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I know the plans I have for you. God, I just pray right now, Father, that you would enter in, Lord God. Father, as you're standing, Lord God, at the entranceway to our heart, the entranceway to our soul, Lord God, that we would invite you in, Father, that you would bless our hearts this morning. Father, we would be transformed and transported this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm from New Zealand, and I'm from Australia. I'm actually a Sydney boy. I was born in Sydney, and I grew up in, and I grew up in Darwin. Who's ever been to Darwin? Really? That's way more people than I thought would put their hand just then. Why on earth did you go? It's a fantastic... I love Darwin. I just spent 2 weeks there. Melissa and I had our very first holiday since planting our church. And so that was good to get away. And the team have done a great job, I assume. They tell me they've done a great job back home. So we'll see. And but I'm sure it's been great. And I love it there. It's a growing city. But you know what? I lived here for all my life and I never came to Tasmania once. Isn't that disgusting? Yeah, it's horrible. It took me to move to New Zealand to finally get to it. So I'm really happy to be here. And in a moment, later on, I think we're going to have a bit of a pray for the city. Amen. Because I believe God wants to do something powerful through this church and through your pastors. And Dave and Alex are so great. And I really feel, and in a moment, I feel like God's speaking to me about you guys. And I feel like this place is going to tear it up. Look at this place. It's awesome. It's too small, though. That's the thing about this place. A little too small. You can get rid of that wall, possibly, and you just put toilets out that way or something, and put a kitchen. You got to pack this place out. How many seats are here? It's what, like 200 seats, 300 seats, something like that? Yeah, it's way too small. And I've got a picture of my daughter when we were in Darwin. That's my wife and my daughter there, and they both got the massive open mouth smile going on, and so that's Stella is her name, and Melissa is my wife, and so Stella is one. I think I've got another picture of her. We don't have that one. I might show that tonight if that's cool, and thank you, Peter, and. Yeah, so that's them. They're the joy of my life. I love them, and they couldn't be here, unfortunately. And they're in Brisbane this morning, and they're heading back to town this afternoon. I just thought I'd like to see them, and I'd like to see them, so I thought I'd do that. And that's cool. Thanks very much, Peter. For I know the plans I have for you. God is certain. Sometimes we're uncertain that God wants to do good things. Sometimes we don't really know. You know, sometimes you see a movie or you hear a song. I'm a musician. I love music. And sometimes I hear a song or I don't know what I think about that. Or an idea. I'm not really... God knows the thoughts he has towards us. He knows the plans he has for us. He is certain. So we can be certain. We can be confident in the fact that God has a future and a hope for our lives. We can be confident that God wants to do something fantastic in your life. Now, I could have brought this message tonight, because I'm here again tonight, and I'm told that tonight is a bit younger crowd. But I thought, this is not a young person's message. This is a message for young people. It's okay, you don't have to leave or anything. This is not purely a young person's message. This is not purely a salvation message, although it is. This is not purely a message for the brokenhearted, although it is. This is not purely a message for those who are desperate and seeking something and feeling depressed with it, although it is. This is not just a young person's message. This is a message for you this morning. That there is a future and a hope. Your current situation is not the end. The adventure has only just begun. Doesn't matter what kind of era of your life you're in. Moses was not just a young kid when God came to him and told him to lead his people. People, I know a lot of the time we talk about that, say, you know, when you're young, you got, and it's true, when you're young, take a hold of that. I'm going to talk about Joshua in a minute. He was a young man and God spoke to him, but this is not just a young person's message. You're here this morning, it doesn't matter where you're at in life, doesn't matter what stage of life, you might be retired, you might be just starting out in your career, you might be a young family, you might just be a teenager, it doesn't matter, but God has a future and a hope. The future didn't stop the moment you got to like 50 or something. The future is in front of you. There is a hope in front of you. Amen? Are you guys with me this morning? Come on, give the Lord a huge hand this morning for your future. And, you know, because I see a lot of people get to a stage of life and they go, yeah, well, I've done it now. Now I'm just going to kind of, you know, support these and, you know, be there and, you know, clap in church. And there's a future and God wants to do something amazing with your life. It's not finished yet. Amen. It is not finished yet. And I'm really passionate about this. And I hope if I finish this message this morning, I'm going to do a message on... a great message on love tonight, and you want to get people to this message tonight. If you don't normally come to tonight's service, why don't you just make an exception, come out tonight, and I've got a great message for you. It's really going to touch your heart and touch some people's lives. Bring some people. Just stop some people on the street and bring them along, and if you don't have any friends, go make some, and it'd be good to do that anyway, and so it'd be good. The truth is that God thinks of you in a different light to how you think of yourself. Because He's thinking in terms of your future. A lot of the time we're thinking about now. We get sidetracked by the now. We get kind of, I'm a goals-oriented person. I'm very goal. I was telling some of the, I was supposed to have dinner with the young adults last night. Some of the young adults had a barbecue and I missed my plane coming down here just in a comedy of errors. I missed my train station, which means I had to get another train, which means I missed my plane, which means I had to pay extra money to get the plane here. And then because of that meant I had no money to get any food while I was waiting at the airport. I was kind of wandering around. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. I rang my wife. She's like, you're an idiot. You know, like, you got some sympathy going on for me. I like that. Yeah. Yeah. And God thinks of us in a bit of a different light to how we think of ourselves. I'm a goals-oriented person, and I've lost a bit of weight. I was telling the guys last night. And I've lost about 25 kilos. And thanks. Oh, 3-4 claps. Things are impressive. Yeah. And which is good. But I still need to lose maybe, I'm going to say maybe another 10 or so. Well, I'm not sold on that. You've got to make sure you're not being stupid about it. But, I've gone and I was about 110 kilos. And so now I'm getting around a respectable weight, which is good. It was horrible. And I think when you met me, I was probably pretty big. Was that? Yeah, I was pretty big. Yeah. Yeah, you were pretty fat. And, yeah, it looked good anyway. Yeah, exactly. And, hey, why don't you give Dan Pastor a massive hand? He's an awesome young guy in your church if you don't know him. Come on, give him a really huge hand. He's a great guy. I met him a few years ago now. He came over and I was just so impressed with him and just such a great heart for God. And so I've kept in contact and... But I'm a goals oriented. So I've done this, and I'm very conscious of my goal always. I'm a goals-oriented person. Always in life, I have been. I always vision. I've got to have goals, and I like to. So I'm a future kind of person. But sometimes, who knows? We get stuck in the now. Even when you're a future-oriented person, we get stuck in now moments. We get consumed by our circumstance. Because sometimes, right now, burgers are so good. ribs are so good. Pizza. Oh, I think we're going for pizza tonight, actually. It's so good. Because right now, sometimes we lose sight of the future. Amen? So even when you're... But God never loses sight of our future. God never loses sight of our future and wants us... He wants the best life for us. Yeah. And the future and the hope that God has for you is not your current circumstances. Yeah. That seems like a really stupid thing to say, but your future is not right now. Yeah. It's one of those things that's not really that impressive, but at the same time, it's something we need to grab a hold of. Because sometimes we judge our future by our situation. Sometimes we constrain our future by where we are right now. Well, I've done this, I've done that, and now I'm just here. This is what I'm like. This is now my future. No, this is now your current situation. Your future is a hope. Your future is bigger and your future is brighter in Jesus' name. Isaiah 42:9. If you have your Bible, you are more than welcome to head there. If not, I will read it to you. Because that's pretty much my job. Behold... I like scriptures that start with impressive words like that, don't you? It's good for preaching, because you say it and people go, what? Behold. It's good, isn't it? Everyone want to say it? It feels really good when you say it. Just pretend you're a preacher for a minute and say, ready? Everyone say, behold.
Behold.
Yeah, it's good. It feels good, doesn't it? I feel good when you said it. I thought, oh, okay. Oh, behold. Behold. The former things, I'm not sure what just happened here. The former things have come to pass. And new things I now declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them. God is doing a new thing in your life. This morning, the old has passed and the new he is declaring. The new has been declared over your life this morning. I'm going to tell you that this morning, my job this morning is to transport you from where you are into your future. That is my role this morning. That is what I have impressed on my heart this morning, is that I want you to realize that you need to move into a new dimension. You need to move into a new place. You need to get a bigger vision. Behold, the former things have passed. I recently bought a new pair of jeans. Not these ones. These are old and looking like it, to be honest. And because I went on tour. I play with a band, and I might say a bit more about that tonight. I play in a band and tour around. It's a non-Christian band, which I love, and it's great. I earn money from it, which is also great. And so we were on tour, and there was a bit of a mix-up. We ended up having to drive for like 5-6 hours to our thing, which normally would never happen, but flights were weird, and so we went with it. So I thought, I'm going to wear shorts, because it's a road trip. So I wore shorts, and, you know, that's possibly not the most attractive sight, but I did anyway. And then we got to the location, I realized I never packed any pants. and so I thought, oh, I've got all these dates to play, and I've only got one pair of shorts. I thought, this is silly. So I rang up Melissa and said, we don't like to spend heaps of money. I said, I've got to go and buy some pants. I look like an idiot. And she said, okay. And so I went to the shop, a cheap pants shop. It's not what it was called, but it's what it was. And so I went in, found a nice pair of jeans that were on sale. And I said, yeah, these would be good. I want to see if they fit. Because you've got to know if they fit before you take them. And so I went into the change room. And I'm sorry about this part of the story. But in order to try my new jeans on, I had to take off my other pants. I'm sorry for those of you who are visual thinkers, but the point was that I had to take off the old in order to put on the new.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes we have to abandon the old in order that, sometimes we actually have to let go of that thing that we've been holding on to our whole lives to embrace new. I'm telling you this morning, God wants us to take our pants, no, that's not right, hang on, that's, no, scrap that. God... No, the analogy just got a bit weird there. I don't know. I think Dave's beginning to regret having me here, and some people just lost their salvation over the image. And God wants us to let go of that which we've been holding on to for so many years. We get so stuck in our situation. I don't know if you're like that this morning, whether you're stuck, but some people really, you know, you just get stuck. And it's of no fault of your own. You're just going through the motions of life, and then you wake up and go, you know what, I've been doing the same thing for ages. Now, this is what I need to say to you, is that I don't mean instability. I'm not talking about instability, where you constantly change and doing different things and you're unstable in your life. It's not what God's about. God doesn't want to make you unreliable and unstable. That's not what God is doing here. When I say a new thing, I mean, I have served in every capacity that I can possibly think of in church life. Every capacity. I've only ever been in three churches. But I have served in every capacity. I've moved country a couple of times, so that's why. I've done kids' church. I love doing kids' church. That was so much fun. I loved it. I wanted to make everything kind of exciting. And what's the shows over here? High Five. And what's the other ones, the after school kind of ones, Wipeout. And I wanted to make everything kind of fun and that kind of thing. So I love doing kids' ministry. For a while, I cleaned. I did the cleaning. I cleaned the toilets, and one day that was horrible. And, I don't know what was going on with that guy. And must have been some sin in his heart. I cleaned the toilets. I've done youth ministry. I've done young adults ministry. For some reason, one of the pastors decided to give me some organizational, which is just stupid. If you knew me at all, that's just ridiculous. But I did it. I served in my capacity. I was never unstable. I was never unreliable, but God continually did new things. God continually brought me to a new day. Perhaps today is that new day for you, where you go, you know, I've been doing the same thing, and God wants me to do a new thing. It might not be in church life. Not everything is. Sometimes we, preachers and pastors forget that. But, not everything. Maybe there's a new day for your work. Maybe there's a new day for your career. Maybe there's a new day for your ministry outside. Maybe it's a new day for you and your family, for you and your wife, you and your friends. Today is a new day, and God wants to do a brand new thing. Mark 2:22. Let's read it. I like this scripture. I think it's cool. Most scripture is. Mark 2:22. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. No one does it. There we go. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine will be destroyed, and so are the skins. That's two down, you got nothing. But new wine is for fresh wineskins. Jesus is talking about our preconceptions and the way we did things. Jesus is talking about a transformation of the mind. Jesus is talking about us being transformed. Because God wants to do a new thing, but it's very difficult to do a new thing. You can't teach old dog new tricks. I saw my childhood dog recently when I was on holiday. I grew up with this, and I hunted him down. This old lady had him. And I went to the gate. I started calling him. His name is Bing. And this is embarrassing, but I named him after Chandler Bing from Friends. So weird, eh? I don't know what I was thinking. I was a kid. I didn't know. I thought that was cool. Could I be any more childish? And five people understood that joke. So I saw, and I called Bing, Bing, Bing. He couldn't hear. He's gone deaf. Bing! It didn't come. So I went. I started rattling the gate because I didn't want him to just run up and maul me because I didn't know. So I went in and he still didn't come. So I had to go to him and mulled about. And I could see the moment when he recognized who I was. It took about 5 minutes. And he went. I could see the moment. I looked into his eyes and he's going blind. He could hardly see. He's frail. He's limping around And I said, sit, because he used to sit for me. And he couldn't because his legs all bung. I go, sit, sit. I kept on saying, why aren't you sitting, you idiot dog? And then my wife went, he can't. I went, oh, I'm sorry. And I thought, imagine teaching this dog something new. That would just be ridiculous. He's old. He's done his time. He's stuck in the... It's very old, it's very hard to teach old dog new tricks. It's very hard and in fact impossible, and you should never try it, to try and do new things with old wineskins. And God wants to do a new thing with you, but sometimes we're like an old frail dog. Sometimes God wants to do something brand new and something exciting, and we're just kind of limping about in our old way of thinking. We're limping about in our old mindset and our unforgiveness. We're limping about in what we've always done. But God's saying, I want to do a brand new thing with you. Would you let me transform you? Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. Don't be conformed. Now, it says don't be conformed to the world, but let me tell you, don't be conformed to the church either. I've been in, and this church is not one of them, I can see, and I'm sure from meeting Dave, this would never be in his heart, but I've seen a lot of churches that you pretty much have to be exactly the same. Like everyone, you see everyone dress and talk exactly the same as a senior pastor, and everyone's got to be there, and you have to be a certain way. If you don't look a certain way, you're not accepted, or you can't be in leadership, you can't do ministry. If you don't look and talk a certain way, and I hate that because I think God loves you. God created you. He loves exactly who you are. You don't have to be anyone else. God doesn't want you to be anyone else. He doesn't want you to lose your identity. Yeah. Transforming of the mind does not mean losing of your character. Yeah. Doesn't mean losing losing your personality. It means upgrading. Yeah. Awesome. Don't be conformed to any way of thinking. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't be conformed to another person. Don't try and preach like someone else. Don't try and be a leader like someone else. I mean, it says in the Word of God that we should imitate our leader's faith. But it doesn't say to imitate our leaders. Imitate their faith. Don't imitate them. Don't imitate the world. Don't try and be anyone else. God loves you. God loves who you are. Made you and went, this guy, this girl is fantastic. And then we try and change everything about ourselves to be someone else. And he goes, who are you? You used to be this other guy. Now you're this person. I already got one of him. I got doubles. I don't know if you ever collected cards. I used to collect basketball cards. Never played basketball in my life. Never watched a game of basketball when I was a kid, but I collected the cards because that's what you did. And you'd go through and you were so gutted when you opened a new packet and you're like, I've already got that one. God doesn't want two Michael Jordans. He wants a Pippen. He wants he wants you to be you. God created you to be you. Be transformed in your mind. Be transformed. Allow God to transform you. Our mindsets and our thinking are limiting us. God wants to do a new thing. God wants to do a great thing, but sometimes we're thinking about small things. Sometimes we're thinking about just these small, just what I'm doing. We're so preoccupied with now that God's saying, no, I need to transform your mind. I need to get you to a new place. We need new vision. Amen. Our church, we have a, everyone's got their tag. Well, churches have their tags, because what, churches do. And C3 Church, I'm part of C3 Church. And, Phil Pringle, you guys had Phil here last year, I think it was. And so we're a part of his kind of group of churches, and he's the boss dog to us. But our church's kind of tag, if you like, is Your Best Life. Now, I've got to tell you, when they came out with this, I did not like it. I was sitting in the conference and they said, here's the new logo. And I went, that's cool. I can sit with that. It's just a logo. And they went, this is what we're all about. And I mean, it's not like you have to do everything by it, but I want to be, supportive of the movement. I want to be supportive of what my leader's doing. And that's what good disciples do. You support your leader and you get behind them. And they said, Your Best Life. And it took me months. It honestly took me months before I really liked it. I just thought it sounded, I was like, I can't be Oprah. That's what I felt like. I just felt like it was one of these yuck, it felt horrible. It coming out of my mouth felt yucky. I just felt, this isn't real to me. And like I said, I don't ever want to be another person. So I had to think about this and pray on this. And sometimes you have to do this when your leaders come out with stuff and you go, okay, I'm going to have to think about this and pray about this and so I can get behind him. And so I thought about this and suddenly I got it. I was focusing on kind of the wrong part of it. I was thinking, oh, it's so tacky. It's so materialistic. I know we're talking about spiritual stuff, but it's so, self-empowering. And then I realized the word that I love so much about it is your. Your best life. Not the best life. We're not saying this is a picture of the best life. Now live it. We're saying you live your best life. Your best life. Now that's my message. It's not just the thing that's underneath our logo. That's my message now. I can't preach a message that isn't a part of. Your best life. You be the best you. At some point in our life, let me tell you this, young person, older person, married, single, whatever, at some point in our life, we need to let go of that expectation that one day we're going to wake up and be someone else. That one day we're going to wake up and we'll be some other successful person. I caught myself one day, not literally, because that would be weird. I love when they use the word literally. I was watching AFL, and I love this. And this guy was like, he literally flew across the oval. No, he didn't. He ran across. He figuratively flew. What are you talking about? Someone said to me, that literally blew my mind. No, it didn't. I don't want people to misuse literally. It's ridiculous. Literally blew my mind. First person to say that must have got a slapping, I tell you. I literally slapped your face. I caught myself, figuratively, walking down the street, and I was wearing these cut-off shorts. They're just like these, but they're cut-off here. You see people wearing them? Yeah, and maybe not, I don't know. Is that cool over here? Okay. If it's not, I was wearing something different. And but I was wearing these cut-off jeans, and I was actually, this is going to make me sound ridiculous, I was actually wearing a basketball singlet, a Volcom basketball singlet, and I had this cap on, this America cap on, like this kind of almost side. Because I play in, I'm dressed quite nice today, but I play in bands, and, I can't turn up to a gig looking like this. And I was walking down, I thought, I run a church, so I'm a senior pastor of a church. I've got a kid. I'm married with a kid. I run a business. We've taken over a cinema and we run that and we do. I thought at some point in my life, I'm sure I was meant to grow up. I must have missed this one day where you go from wearing this to wearing like a suit or something, or at least the Pentecostal formal, which is the jeans and the shirt, and the leather shoes, the Pentecostal formal, Pentecostal corporate, and at some point I must have missed the memo where you go, no, you don't wear that anymore. And I was walking down the street, this is ridiculous. I can't be a dad and a pastor. But the truth is, I never woke up one day and became Phil Pringle or became Brian Houston or became some other successful person. Just God, just along the way, began to transform my mind and renew my mind and open things in my heart. So I'm so busy. I'm in a full-time, I tour every week just about with this band. I'm running a business, I'm running a church, and I'm a stay-at-home dad. I do, that's my week. And I think about, how do I even do that? It's because God just transforms me bit by bit by bit. And I'm not another person, but I am another person. I've been transformed without being transformed, if you know what I mean. God wants to transform your mind. Your capacity to lead and your capacity to do great things will grow when you allow God into your area. When you allow God into your heart and the Holy Spirit and reading the Word of God and worshiping, God wants you to do something new. God has a new day for you. Behold, the old things have passed. The former things are gone. That which held you before, that which you held before, you're now letting go and is now letting go of you. And there is a new day for you and your family, for you and your friends, for you and your school. God wants to do a new thing in your life and transport you to a new day. Your current situation is not your future. I like that thought far more than anyone else does. I love it. I reckon it's so cool. Because this is the thing about God, is that it's, and this, what I'm speaking about, it's far more about His ability to anoint than our capacity to achieve. It's far more about His capacity to anoint than it is our capacity to achieve. I am, in school, I was kind of posted as kind of the dumb kid. I wasn't, you know, I just wasn't academic. I'm still not very academic. I'm terrible with maths. I'm terrible. That's why getting me to organize things is just, I don't even know what's going on. I wouldn't have a clue because I'm just so unacademic about things. I've got great people around me who are like that. I've got a great business manager and she is a genius and is very patient also, which is good. But I was never that guy. So I kind of thought, oh, I'm never going to really do much. I could never really do these things. I'll be this guy. I'll be that person. See, it's not about my ability to do is horrible. I'm the least talented preacher you ever saw. I'm the least. I got nothing. I've got nothing. I'm like that kid turning out with some bread and a bit of fish, going, "You want to feed thousands of people with this?" I'm like that guy. I've just got nothing. Nothing to offer. But it's not about my capacity to achieve. It's about God's capacity to anoint. God will feed multitudes with the little that you have. For I know the plans I have for you. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Plans for a future and a hope. Joshua 1:8. I'm going to wrap up in a minute. God speaks to Joshua. We find Joshua a young man. Moses had led God's people for years. Years and years and years. Joshua is just a great guy, a great servant, a great disciple. It's like Daniel. It's a great disciple, great guy, or just do whatever it takes to get the job done. And so God speaks to Joshua. And he says this to Joshua, which I really like. He says, "Be strong and courageous." He says it like four or five times to Joshua. "Be strong and courageous." I have a team at church, obviously, that do things. And occasionally things are happening, and I'll say to them, you know, I'll say to Tammy, who's the business manager I was talking to before, I'll say, you need to have faith. You need to stand up and preach in our church. You need to go on the Holy Spirit. You need to do it. This today, she's probably finished by now. She did a message on the Holy Spirit. I said, you need to do this. You need to have faith and you need to seek God. Now, I didn't say that because she was doing it. She wasn't already rostered on to preach on it and she didn't feel confident about it and she didn't have a message on it. I wouldn't have said it otherwise. You know what I mean? I'm not going to tell you to sit down now because you're already sitting down. God didn't say be strong and courageous to Joshua because he was full of courage and full of strength. He wasn't this confident leader. He wasn't ready to take on the people of God. Otherwise, he wouldn't have bothered saying it. Yeah. Why does Paul say something like 30-odd times in the book of, in the books of Timothy, "Fear not. Don't be scared anymore. Don't be afraid." Because Timothy was petrified. Sometimes we hear these things and we go, "Hey, that's so cool. I wish I was the kind of guy that God could say be strong and courageous to." You're exactly the kind of person God is saying be strong and courageous to. John 10:10, one of my favorite verses in the Word of God. The enemy comes to seek, to steal and destroy. It's the only reason the enemy will come into your life. It's the only reason anything outside of God will ever come into your world is to seek and to steal and destroy. It's the only reason. There's no other mission that he has. That's why he's there, to seek out, to steal, and to destroy. "But I have come that you may have life and life abundant." Why did he say that? Because he's come to give back what the devil's been stealing. Why is Joshua being told to be strong and courageous? Because he's lost his courage, he's lost his strength. This morning, why is God speaking to you individually, not the person next to you? A future and a hope is not for the person next to you. Well, no, it is. No, it is. That's not. Yeah, no, that's okay. Some of you guys are going, really? No, yeah, you're all, it's for all of you. But don't assume it's not for you. Don't assume it's just for that person or just for this person. Why is God speaking to you this morning? There is a future and a hope to be strong and courageous. Because this morning, you need to step out. This morning, you need to leave the old and let go of it and come into a new. Take hold of the new. Be strong and courageous. We need to take back confidence. So I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. We can be confident. Some of you guys aren't confident in that. You think, yeah, oh, maybe for someone else. Maybe for someone else who was reading the Word every day. Maybe for someone else who was more spiritual than me. Maybe if it's that guy over there. No, you. Be strong and courageous. Don't think about other people. Let me stand to your feet right now. Just where you are. Thank you, God. You know, at the end of John, listen to this. It's Peter speaking to Jesus. This is one of the most powerful things Jesus ever said, in my opinion. There's a couple of statements that I think, and tonight I'm going to talk about one of them, and this is one of the others. There's a few statements that I think really sum up Jesus and what he really wanted to convey to us. This is the last thing he said. According to the Gospel of John, this is actually one of the last things Jesus says, one of the last statements of Christ. So when Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Speaking about what had happened before with Judas and what about this man? He's talking to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Don't worry about this guy. Don't worry about that guy. Don't worry about what this guy can do, what that guy's already doing. What does it matter? It's up to God. Jesus says, you follow me. Future and a hope is your message this morning. There is something new that God wants to do in your life. There is something new that God wants to open up. God does this in moments of vision and moments of clarity. In a moment, he's going to pray over all of us. And God will begin to speak to us. It always happens in these moments. When we set aside some time and God will speak to you in a moment. And in a moment, I want God to speak to every one of you as we open up our hearts. God's going to begin to give some of you vision. And Joel says, young men will dream dreams and your old men will see visions. Yeah, dream some dreams, amen. One day I'll have some visions. This morning God wants to speak to you, into your world, give you a picture perhaps, give you a word, speak into your heart, whatever it is. God wants to impart something into you. There's going to be an anointing for that in a moment. Why don't you just close your eyes right now? This is for every person here. This is for every person here. Tonight I'm going to do a message on love, on grace. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. I basically have two messages in me at most times. This is one, and tonight's is the other.
They come in different forms and different things and for different purposes, but most preachers really have one or two messages in them. You'll find David will have a certain message that he brings. That's his thing. All preachers are like that. It's an anointing on your life. And I know what mine are, and that's what I preach. Tonight, it's going to be a great night. If you want to get some people here, it's going to be awesome. Why don't you just wait on God for a second? When you wait on God, you'll renew your strength. You'll rise. Powerful things you can do is take a moment and wait on God. I like to dull down hype. It's kind of one thing I really love. I like a bit of hype like the next man, depending on who the next man is, obviously. My bad. But I like these moments. It's so real. It's you and God. Father, I pray that you would speak to every person here, God, every open heart, Lord God. Jesus, begin to speak to their vision in their heart. God is beginning to speak to you right now. God's beginning to show you a vision, show you pictures, people's faces, people groups, workplaces. Maybe God's calling you to a particular area. God, oh God, oh God. God, speak to these people. Open hearts, Father. New vision, new anointing in Jesus' name. New anointing in Jesus' name. There's anointing right here, right now. The Holy Spirit is in this place. The presence of God is moving throughout this room. Speaking vision into your heart. Thank you, God. A new day, a new day, a new day in Jesus' name.
Lord, I just pray that you would continue the process that you started here this morning. The process that as we go along the way, that you will transform our minds. Lord, I thank you this morning that you don't speak. You don't speak to us as we are, but you speak to us as we'll be. And I just pray right now that would be the words, that the words that you're dropping into people's spirits now, as you're opening eyes, as you're lifting our vision, Lord, I pray that will be something that burns in our hearts, that will be something that we get hold of, that will be something that we choose not to let go of, and we choose to walk in that. I thank you that your word says that the thief, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes to take away those things. But you, Lord Jesus, come that we would have life, and have life completely full and abundant and in all its fullness and beyond anything we can imagine. Just do that, Lord Jesus. Do that, Lord Jesus. Just while your heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I want to ask you a really important question. Chris has encouraged us about a future and a hope. He's encouraged us about things that cannot be taken away. This is what the Bible says. It says we're made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. In other words, we all stand in the same place. And it goes on and it says, for everyone has sinned. That means rebellion. That means turning against God. And every single human being, all of us were born into that place. Doesn't matter whether you were born into a rich family or a poor family. It doesn't matter whether you came from the right or the wrong side of the tracks, wherever they are. All of us are in the same place. It says, for everyone has sinned and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. This is the good news. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. God presented Jesus Christ as a sacrifice to sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus Christ, listen, there's a big word here, sacrificed his life.
Yeah.
Sacrificed.
Yeah.
Sacrificed. Didn't just happen. Didn't just happen by accident. Jesus deliberately sacrificed his life. He gave it up for all of us. Shedding his blood, this sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who had sinned in times past. This morning, if you're in a place and you haven't experienced God's undeserved, unmerited favor, you have not experienced his love that cannot be taken away. You've not said, yes, Jesus, come into my life. Yes, Jesus, I need you in my heart. I need you in my life right now. I need to experience that. I want to give myself totally to you. I acknowledge that I've lived in a point of rebellion. I have done what the Bible calls sin. It doesn't make you any different to anybody else because the Bible says that's all of us. If you can acknowledge that this morning and say, yes, Jesus, I need you. You may never have done that before, but I'm saying this morning is your morning. This morning is the morning when you can say, yes, Jesus, I want to accept what you've done for me. I want to experience your unmerited favor, your love. I want you to come in and connect me with Almighty God in heaven. Just while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, if that's you this morning, why don't you slip your hand up and say, Dave, I want to make that decision this morning. I want to say yes to Jesus. I want to say, Jesus, come into my life, into my heart right now. I want to give my life 100% to you. It's a hard decision, but it's the bravest, boldest, most life-changing decision that you can ever make. If you want to say yes to Jesus, I'll just hold on another few moments. If you would put your hand up, I'll lead you, and we'll pray together a prayer that invites Jesus to come into your life. You're actually doing something very, very brave. You're surrendering your life to him, and you're putting yourself in a place where you can share an inheritance, you can share a future that cannot be taken away from you. If that's you, just slip your hand up and say, hey, Dave, I want to make that decision this morning. I want Jesus to come into my world. Just while people are thinking about that, maybe there are others here this morning and you know that your walk, that the way you've been going hasn't been close to God. You're perhaps not feeling like you're being obedient to him. You know what you should do, but that's not where you are this morning. And you might want to make that decision and say, yep, I'm sold out, I'm 100%, I'm going to do that for Jesus this morning. Just while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, if that's you, just slip your hand up quickly and say, hey, it's me, I want to make that decision. Okay. Well, praise God. Why don't you look up? Why don't you give a big hand? Thank you, Chris, that was a brilliant message.